Well, I was going to go on back in Galatians and how long this takes. We may touch on some of that back there too. And then eventually, within a week or two, that promised excursus on cremation, which I think is something important to address and know today. Well, this is the last time that we're going to meet in 2018. Next Sunday will be 2019. Whoever would have thunk it? Here we all are, and it looks like we're going to make it to 2019. And I reflected on that a little bit, some new thoughts, some old thoughts, and just share a couple of them with you, as I've already hinted to. Listen, folks, what's going to happen in 2019? The world is going to continue to fall apart. America is going to swirl down the toilet. The economy is going in the pits. And Western civilization is committing suicide. I saw something today, it'd probably be in next week's paper, but those two girls that were over in the Middle East and killed, and the one beheaded and whatever, and back in Sweden, I think they were from Norway, but in Sweden people were talking about it and showing these Muslims, send videos even to this girl's mother of them killing the girl, and they were saying there in Sweden, well, you can't. And after they did it, they swore their allegiance to ISIS and said, well, you can't be saying stuff about this and tying it to Islam and sharing these things. And if you do, he says you can be convicted and sent to jail for 4 years. You know, Western civilization is committing suicide, and folks, you know, it's on the way. It's on the way here. Things are going to continue to fall apart. Many verses we could look to. The Lord warned many times. Brother Hal alluded in his prayer. Now, the Lord saying that we'd be under persecution. Paul wrote to young Timothy, who was pastoring at the church at Ephesus, and said, yea, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And he goes on. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Paul said, Timothy, you'll suffer persecution, and it's just going to get worse. And we should steel ourselves for these things to some extent. As I study things during the week and as I look at different sources, more and more I see some folks talk. They find secret, hidden codes in the scripture. And I've seen a lot made of, you know, these coincidences of what they call blood moons and Trump. And all these things that are spoken. Well, I don't pay much attention to those things. But I want to tell you something. I found a secret hidden code in Scripture that I want to share with you all today. Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. Okay, maybe it's not so secret. Maybe it's not so hidden. Maybe it's just kind of plainly stated there for the comfort and benefit of God's people. But it's true. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Paul says, we know this. We've talked about this. How can you know something like that? Because God is sovereign. That's the only way you could know that. If God wasn't sovereign, If God wasn't in control of everything, and things were happening outside of his control, how could you say that everything's working together for the good of his people? But Paul says, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. We love him because he first loved us. You know, our comfort is, you know, that we love God. But had he not first loved us, had he not loved us before the foundation of the world, we never would have loved him. We love him because he first loved us. The Lord told his disciples, you haven't chosen me, I chose you. We know all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Whatever happens in 2019 is going to be in accordance with the purpose of God. Now, that doesn't mean that it's going to necessarily be in accordance with his revealed will. God's revealed will tells us what our obligation is, how we are to live, what we are to do. And men rebel against God's revealed will. They rail against it. When the Lord Jesus Christ came, the Father said, this is my Son, hear ye him. But they took him and crucified. They rebelled against the revealed will of God, but in doing all that, they accomplished God's decreed and secret will. We're told in Acts that they did what God had determined before to be done. I mean, they railed against heaven. They were at war against the Son of God. But they were doing what God had already determined to be done. And we can rest in that. So, no, there's not really a secret or a hidden. But God's revealed this to those people. And what we can do, what we ought to do, is to trust him and to continue on. Trust him and continue on. Rest in his sovereignty. Rest in his decreed will. Rest in knowing that he's working everything together for the good of his people. The psalmist says in Psalm 37 and verse 3, trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Trust in the Lord and do good. That's our duty. Trust God and do good. Do what he's told us to. Trust in the Lord and do good. Or as our friend Stonewall would say, duty is ours. Consequences are God's. Trust in the Lord and do good. Do what God's called you to do. Stand as he would have us to stand. He is always faithful. Always. Always. There's one passage I often reflect upon this time of the year as I reflect on God's faithfulness, and Jacob reflected upon God's faithfulness. As, you know, I can identify with Jacob. Jacob wasn't a perfect guy, you know. He was a deceiver. He deceived his brother. Stole the birthright. His brother gets mad and he has to flee for his life. There's some dealings with his relative about his future wives and sheep and how they would count them, and in many ways he was Jacob the deceiver. God changed his name. You know what he changed his name to, right? God changed Jacob's name to Israel. Jacob was the father of Israel. But it was all God's grace. And that's the way God's grace works in everything, folks. get upset sometimes about the descendants, physical descendants of Jacob today. They're not always the most pleasant of people necessarily. And oftentimes they're just steeped in liberalism or whatever. They're not our friends in that sense. But God's not finished with them. See? So it does us well to keep that in mind, not getting too far afield. But anyway, so Jacob flees for his life, runs from his brother, eventually marries two sisters, raises up family, and then more, but two sisters, I think, would have been enough. But and God blesses him, and he decides he's going to go back home, and he got afraid of his brother, because Esau said, "When I see you, I'm going to kill you." Well, when somebody tells you that, I guess you know. So anyway, he comes back, and as he's passing into his homeland, he reflects on what God had done for him. He eventually divides his troop into two, so Esau can't fall on both at the same time, you know. But Jacob reflects on some things, which I think is true of all of God's children. First, he says this in Genesis 32 and verse 10. Israel says, "I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies and of all the truth which thou hast showed unto thy servant." He said, "I'm not worthy of your mercies." Well, God's mercy and God's grace, which are different but go hand in hand, come upon the unworthy. If we're not unworthy, it's not even grace. Mercy is when God restrains, essentially, mercy is when God restrains on giving us what we deserve. Now, you hear some folks that don't think things through too often, and they say, "I just want what I deserve." You know, "I think I've been a good boy. I've lived a good life. You know, I just want a fair deal. I just want what I deserve." No, you don't. And God's grace is when he bestows blessings on us, not withholding what we deserve, but he gives us, bestows blessings upon us of which we are totally unworthy, which we haven't earned, which we don't deserve. And Jacob reflects, he says, "I'm not worthy." See, Jacob, the Lord had done a work in his heart, in his mind. He understood who he was dealing with. "I'm not worthy." Jacob said, "Well, I was a pretty good boy. You know, I was deserving. Maybe I should have been here." "No, I'm not worthy of the least, not of the least. Not even the littlest of all thy mercies." That's an indication that God's done a work in someone's heart when they realize what a miserable, poor, lost, undeserving sinner they are. I think of Paul often reflect on his words when he says, "Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." Paul the apostle, who had a wonderful ministry, had been mightily used of the Lord, said that, "Of whom I am chief." So he says, "I'm not worthy of the least of all the mercies." And then he says this, "And all the truth which thou hast showed unto thy servant." I don't claim to have all understanding. I don't claim to understand all truth. But I do believe this, that God has been pleased over the years to reveal to me some things. And I think to you all as well. As we've grown, as the Lord's taught us things, whether it's been, you know, through preaching or studying, or a lot of them I learned right in the crucible, fighting, you know, in the classroom with infidel professors, basically. And that's the truth. It says, and of all the truth which thou hast showed unto thy servant, the Lord's pleased to teach us things. But you understand, folks, in this life, that's not always easy either. I think of Brother Stewart. And, you know, the Lord's taught him some things. And, you know, it brings perhaps some conflict. It brings trouble at times. I said, like, when I was at that church in the masonry that was there with the pastor and the deacons, and I went to the pastor and revealed all this stuff to him. And he couldn't answer it. He couldn't answer anything to it, you know. It was truth. It was there. He had to even acknowledge it, but he wasn't going to do anything about it. Same way with the whole Christmas paganism stuff, and you know, you go on and on. And it was when the Lord reveals truth to us, you know, we're obligated to embrace it and act upon it. And if we don't, we're going to give an accounting. And when the Lord reveals truth to us, sometimes, you know, that becomes almost its own sort of burden, and the conflict may come. But all of that is of the Lord. And so I identify with Jacob. I'm not worthy of the least of the mercies and of all the truth which thou hast shown unto thy servant. And then he goes on, concluding that verse. It says, for with my staff I passed over this Jordan. Now he's not talking about his chief of staff and secretary of defense. He's talking about a stick. Jacob says, with my staff, with this stick, that's all I had to my name. I was running for my life. I crossed over Jordan with this staff. He says, and now I have become two bands. Now God had abundantly blessed him. God had poured out his mercy and grace upon him. And as I reflect on the past year and in the past years, I see what, you know, how God is blessed. Maybe not exactly how I thought it would be. You know, when I resigned my commission and went off to cemetery, and I thought I'd be, you know, pastor the old church and you get all this stuff, and it don't work that way. I'm thankful the Lord put me in a circumstance just like this. I guess he knew I maybe couldn't handle the other stuff, because I don't know. I probably would have just got fired. I don't think I could. I'm not a very good compromiser. You know, I've never, and that's of the Lord as well. But I've just never been very good at that. But some folks, you know, you get in that circumstance and you got a big building, you got to pay the mortgage, you got to pay the electricity, you got to pay the, you know, got to pay the staff, not the stick. You know, you got to do all that stuff. But if you don't keep people happy, you can't do all that stuff. And I'm thankful, you know, that the Lord's been pleased to put me in the circumstances I'm in, and I hope that, you know, you feel basically the same way about what the Lord's, how the Lord's taught you and brought you, and it's not always necessarily been easy. There's been, you know, there's conflicts and there's confusion in your little mind, not from God. So my thoughts on 2019, and I guess next week we'll get back into Galatians. And I think we'll spend 1 week there, and then we'll do our excursus, and then I'll kind of review one more time the allegory of Sarah and Hagar, and then we'll continue on in Galatians. And if I live long enough, we'll someday finish it. And if I don't, swing low, sweet chariot, coming forward, carry me home. And so there you go. So I pray for us this year, as we trust in God working together everything for the good of his people, as we reflect on his mercies, as we reflect on the truth he's been pleased to show us and the way he's blessed us abundantly, that we might indeed, as the psalmist said, trust to the Lord and do good. Trust God and do what he told you to. That's all there is to it. And I pray that the Lord might be pleased to work in our lives and hearts, so we might be faithful to accomplish and do that in the coming year. We'll stand and sing a closing hymn together. 363, I'll sing you a song. I'll sing you a song. If you'd like, you can stand as we sing it out. 363.
I'll sing you a song.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. Lord, last Sunday we meet together in 2018. Lord, we reflect upon your faithfulness and your love and your mercy and your grace. And beyond our comprehension, and so much beyond our deserts. And Lord, by your grace, we look forward to the year to come, and we pray that you might be pleased to use your people, that you might give us the strength and the wisdom and the discernment and the courage to walk in your ways. That people that you would have us to be. Show forth our Savior. Lord, I thank you for each one that's here. Lord, I thank you that you've been pleased in your sovereignty to bring us together, to bring us here, even on this day. Father, we thank you that you are a sovereign God that rules and reigns in the affairs of men, and that we can rest in knowing that you work all things together for the good of your people. Lord, we may not always understand it. It may not always be pleasant to us after the flesh. And yet, Lord, we thank you for the knowledge to be able to say, this too is the hand of God. Lord, be with our sister churches, with all those that seek to stand and walk aright. Father, again, just thank you for your everlasting love. Thank you for our Savior and his all-sufficient atoning death, for the work of the Spirit. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.